is over.
Gay Valmont is joining us now. Hey, Gay, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I know you're going to be representing the Democratic side for Congress District 1.
News Radio 92.3, full team coverage with Chris and Austin, provided up-to-the-minute election results.
Joining me now, Jimmy Patronis. Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
I couldn't be any better right now.
I'm looking at your numbers. You have 59.12% of the vote.
News Radio 92.3. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 809 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Julio Diaz joins us every Friday at this time. We talk movies. He is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, heard at 4 o'clock tomorrow on News Radio and also the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Teenage Sex and Death at Camp Miasma.
That's correct. That is the title of the film.
It is good, bad, weird, what?
Two of the three.
Okay, so weird and good, I'm guessing?
Weird and good, yeah.
Okay,
so this is the latest film from Gene Schoenbrun, who I did, I saw the TV Glow, kind of a up-and-coming indie filmmaker. This is a really interesting film. It is about a young writer-director who has made their first indie film that was kind of a critical darling, not necessarily a big commercial success.
Okay.
But she has been hired to revive one of her favorite horror franchises of the past, which is this made up for this film called Camp Miasma. It's kind of like a fourth-rate Friday the 13th series.
Okay.
You know, there's a sleepaway camp. Kids are getting killed by this
psycho killer or whatever
called the Little Death.
Okay.
Yeah. So she is trying to find her way into doing a reboot of this franchise. She sets up a meeting with the iconic final girl from the first movie, who is played by Gillian Anderson.
Oh, okay.
And I should say the screenwriter and director is played by Hannah Einbender from Hacks.
Okay.
So great cast to start with here.
Okay.
So she goes to meet her, discovers that she actually lives on the grounds of the sleepaway camp where they filmed the original film.
Okay.
And so it is her trying to find her way into this. It's really this kind of deconstruction of what like horror slasher films mean from a standpoint of how they influence people, how they get into people's heads about sex and death.
Oh,
and it's also about this young woman's awakening.
Okay, so it sounds really like a pretty meta psychological, analytical, multi-layered, thriller, assessment of thriller, yes. All of the above.
Yes, and acts as something of a satire of 70s slashers. While it
oh, you got me. I'm in.
Film within a film. It's funny. This is not going to be for everyone.
By any stretch
of the imagination, it definitely has some queer viewpoints in here. I know that's not necessarily going to be for everybody in the audience.
Sure.
And it is weird. It's not something that is necessarily going to be to everyone's taste. But if you vibe with it, I think you're really going to vibe with it.
So it's queer and
really
queer.
Vibing with it too. Yeah. Yes, in both senses of the word.
There you go. All right. Fair enough.
95% on Rotten Tomatoes. The critics love it. The audience reactions are a little more mixed.
Okay.
Which is unsurprising.
Yeah, right, of course. But I like that they put in their title something that's likely to at least, alert people that it may not be the film for them. Insidious, Out of the Further, the 53rd movie in this franchise, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that title in and of itself also tells you that this may not necessarily be for everybody.
Right.
But, I mean, this series is critic-proof. This is going to be, barring, of course, Spider-Man will be the number one movie at the box office again this weekend, but it'll be a solid number two. It's a long-running horror franchise. You know what you're getting out of this. Demonic possession, jump scares, Lin Shaye acting creepy. It's an Insidious movie.
Okay. So, yeah. And actually, just a side note, we went to see The Odyssey, and I think they were promoting this movie, and I did not want to see this ad, and I was at this other movie, and I thought, sometimes I don't think people think enough about, the rudeness of certain kinds of movies being injected into other kinds of movies in the advertising. But that's me. I'm picky. Tony is a biography?
Yes, this is a biopic about the early years of the very famous chef turned, would you call him journalist or, you know, adventure, you know, television personality at the very least, Anthony Bourdain. Of
sure,
course,
right, yeah.
In question here.
He's a content creator.
Yeah, well, he's not creating anything anymore,
that's
unfortunately.
Right. Was a content creator.
Yeah, but yeah, fantastic reviews on this. This is running 95% on Rotten Tomatoes last
time. Oh,
check.
Okay.
Spa. So, outstanding.
Spa weekend with two of my favorites, Leslie Mann and Idle Fisher.
So, The Hangover for ladies at a spa.
All right.
Okay reviews on this, actually. It does have a really good solid cast. There's been a number of these over the last few years. You had, you know, Bad Moms. And
right.
You had Girls Trip. It's another one of those kind of movies.
All right. Hot Spot, which is a crime drama featuring people whose names I can't pronounce.
Blade Runner knockoff. Very bad reviews.
100%. Okay. And yeah. Let's see. Mutiny with Jason Statham. So I already know what this is going to be.
Is Jason Statham doing Jason Statham-y things? The interesting thing about this is if you were very fast with your fingers, you might have accidentally seen this on Amazon this week because they accidentally released it on Amazon this week. They realized what they did.
All right.
And there will be many, many lawsuits forthcoming about that.
I would guess. And then we have like 10 seconds left, but The Magic Faraway Tree with Andrew Garfield?
Yeah, based on a very popular family book, and there are good reviews on this one as well, running in the 85% range.
Well, it seems like a wide variety of things for all interests. So what are you going to watch next week? Do you know yet?
I believe we get Coyote versus Acme next week, which I'm very, very excited about. This is the film that was one of the films that Warner Brothers tried to kill
tax
write-off. It's supposed to be very, very funny, and I've been really – I'm glad this is just actually coming out in theaters. Very excited for that.
Agreed. So, same sentiments, exactly. Julio Diaz, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock tomorrow on News Radio, and also the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. Julio, always thank you for the good information. Talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Find out next why Brother Andrew is excited about goings-on at University of Michigan and Arizona State University in the Transgressors Memorial Service. PJ has traffic on the 5.
Thanks, Andrew. Well, Burgess Road is running heavy. West Florida High School to Highway 29. Palafox southbound. Also seeing some backups just before you get to Burgess. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 5s.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The Subaru Lot to Love event is going on now at Anderson Subaru, which brings special summer savings to some of our most in-demand Subaru models, Ascent, Outback, and Crosstrek. Right now, get 0.9% financing for 75 months on Ascent models with flexible seating for up to 8 passengers. Or how about 1.9% APR financing for 75 months on the completely redesigned Outback? That's 75-month financing on Ascent and Outbacks. Or get 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on the versatile Subaru Crosstrek. Low rates and long terms on the most reliable and most loved cars around. Discover new places to love during the Subaru A Lot to Love event. Going on now through August 31st at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
When I hit my 50s, I felt like things were slowing down.
This is Sandra's Metamucil story.
I started taking Metamucil for digestion, but had no idea it would impact so much more. Not only did Metamucil help me feel more regular, but my heart health saw the benefits too.
Metamucil, one simple routine, four health benefits. Digestive health starts here. Go to Metamucil.com for more details.
Good dental health starts at the beginning of life. For infants, wipe their gums with a clean, soft cloth after feeding and make sure to schedule your child's initial dental visit before their first birthday. As your child grows, make sure they brush twice a day and floss before bed, limit sugary snacks and drinks, and schedule regular dental checkups. Focusing on healthy dental habits early helps children grow into healthy adults. Visit floridahealth.gov/dentalhealth to learn more. This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Health and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio Team, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for former ABC News senior national correspondent Terry Moran after his unacceptable comments on the Fifth Column podcast. Now, I want you to be warned that the following audio clip does contain a reference to him who shall not be named. If you want to put on your noise-dampening earmuffs at this point, I will understand. If you do not have your own pair of sensory headphones, a set can be found in the pouch on the back of the pew in front of you. Okay, everybody brace for it. Here goes.
Is ABC News a liberal institution?
Yes, but I think like a lot of mainstream media, it's because of lack of viewpoint diversity. That was one of the problems in covering Trump. Nobody had voted for him.
Now trust me, I know that was hard to hear that name, even in passing. But I think you'll agree that every once in a while, we need to just let ourselves be reminded of the trauma endured daily by our fellow citizens who have to actually hear that name without ear protection. First of all, to openly admit that ABC News is liberal is terrible because it abandons the pretense we've had all these decades that news organizations are neutral and objective, even while we actively work behind the scenes to ensure that journalism schools only produce people who are true wokeites, so that when they apply for jobs at any network or newspaper, it's an echo, not a choice. But then to go even farther and admit that all news organizations tend to be like this, and to even use that horrid term so cherished by anti-progressives, mainstream media, blasphemy. Second, he says the problem with news bias is the lack of viewpoint diversity. How dare he? ABC News hires men, women, trans, black, white, brown, Asian, able, disabled, left-handed people, even redheads. Every demographic you can imagine. The fact that none of them voted for the unnameable one doesn't matter. How can anyone be trusted to report the news who would vote like half of the country? Do you really think we're going to let information gatekeeping organizations hire President Bleep supporters for on-air roles? Come on.
Because I sent out these, hey, we should be fair to internal emails, I heard from people, engineers, maybe the occasional producer, who said thank you. Yeah, attaboy.
Now, the fact that even staff other than on-air talent and producers would be hired if they were Bleep supporters concerns me, but at least they aren't being given any real positions of power. And then for Moran to turn around and somehow blame his own industry for failing to focus on the important things about President, well, it's just disgusting.
Oh, it's odd because I thought they focused on the show in the first term, ABC and a lot of mainstream media, and trivia, right? And didn't take a look at what was actually happening with the government under his leadership.
Outrageous. So for failing to preserve the great secret that news organizations are heavily biased towards liberalism, for accepting the anti-progressive terminology of mainstream media and diversity of viewpoint rather than demographics, and for blaming our people for failing to properly report on the substance of this administration, Terry Moran, we hereby cast thee out. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, we want to genuinely celebrate the University of Michigan for its wonderfully compassionate decision to do away with letter grades for first semester freshmen. So instead of grades of the traditional A, B, C, D, F variety, freshman courses will simply be pass or no credit. For the students in the College of Liberal Arts, Literature, Science, and the Arts, which is about half the 8,000 incoming freshmen. As the school explained, this is being done in an effort to curb the mental health crisis unfolding among college-age individuals. This will help students, quote, acclimate to the demands of college and allow intrinsic motivations to guide personally meaningful academic journeys. One interesting note is that freshmen will start to be given letter grades for their will still be given letter grades for their coursework, but professors will not tell them what those grades are. These are just going to be kept internally for tracking purposes and for eligibility for scholarships and academic awards. This practice called grade covering is already in use at MIT and the California Institute of Technology. We love this plan. It's deliberate emphasis on reducing the pain and stress of college grades so that these young people can simply enjoy learning for the sake of learning and not worry about the results. We can't think of a better way to prepare them for the real world. Moreover,
We celebrate the kindness of catering to their mental fragility, since decades of permissive parenting and participation trophies have convinced us that refusing to correct children, building their self-esteem regardless of whether they deserve it, and not holding them accountable for their results is the kindest, gentlest way to bring out the best in them. Nothing builds strength of character like being told you're too weak to endure building strength of character. But we are concerned this plan doesn't go far enough. If freshmen should be spared the suffering of grades, why not sophomores, juniors, and seniors? Why can't all courses simply be pass or no credit? Not only would that de-stress higher education for all the snowflakes of this generation, but it would eliminate the problem of grade inflation entirely. If nobody can earn A's, then there's no need to pretend everyone is an A student. But going farther, perhaps when tests are returned, the questions should not even be scored correct or incorrect. The stress of seeing your answers invalidated is hurtful and only leads students to think they aren't already wonderfully well-educated. Corrective marks on papers should also be eliminated, since having your ideas edited, challenged, or refuted is at least as psychologically damaging as being given anything other than an A-plus grade. Perhaps student-athletes can also benefit from this stress on de-stressing college life. Maybe freshman athletes shouldn't be called for fouls in basketball. Perhaps any shots that just hit the rim should count, like basketball's version of treating a D performance the same as an A. Maybe baseball players shouldn't be called for strikeouts, allowing them to take as many pitches as they need to feel comfortable swinging the bat. Maybe it's a lot less anxiety this way, and we definitely shouldn't be scoring their misguided fielding efforts as errors. Everybody tries hard, don't they? And in football, maybe we should stop keeping score so that everyone can win all the time and not feel the stress of losing as an athlete or as a fan. Of course, the Michigan marching band will have to stop playing Hail to the Victors, since we won't know who the victors are anymore. No grades, no corrections, no points, no strikeouts, and no winners and losers. Yes, this seems like the very best way to make the most capable, successful class of Wolverines the nation has ever seen. Hail, hail to Michigan, the leaders and the no better than anybody else. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, this week's hand-painted acacia wood Kalimba of Justice, 14 recycled aluminum tassels, goes to Arizona State University for its recent foray into modern communications by offering a degree program in content creation. Yes, the curriculum will feature electives in podcasting, studio production, and on-camera presence. Most obviously, we love this because it's part of the mass exodus from traditional news and journalism, and even though we've long been in control of print and broadcast, with the frustrating exception of talk radio, we've seen that a new wave is coming. In the modern era, the proliferation of sources of information reinforces our long-term goal of getting people to abandon their belief in truth and objectivity, to lose confidence in the so-called reliable sources of information, and to basically adopt a kind of despair that truth can even exist, let alone be known. The more, the murkier, we always say. As long as nobody knows anything, nobody can be persuaded of anything, and we'll be free to establish the Ministry of Truth, where government speech is either the only reliable source, or perhaps there isn't even a reliable source. Why bother changing the truth if nobody even believes there is one? Am I right? See, you might think we'd oppose content creatorship and the social media phenomenon and the major study program because our movement has depended on information gatekeeping by bringing as many people into the universities and then indoctrinating them for several years with all of our ideas. After all, it takes a long time to undo the teachings of family, religion, and nation so that graduates can be reprogrammed to support our democratic socialist ideas and then set loose to spread the gospel of wokeness on others. And of course, the college campus is a fantastic re-education camp where we control 90% of the teachers and curriculum and where students live a largely communistic life of free love subsidized by the state and their unsuspecting bourgeoisie parents. But what happens when people skip right to social media influencing without proper grounding in our beliefs? The good news is that the mere proliferation of influencers is helping to us because it is rapidly degrading the ability of people to think deeply, carry on sustained conversations, and really understand the world. Meaning we're actually seeing before our very eyes the formation of the dictatorship of the proletariat. TikTok challenges prove how stupid social media users are becoming, and the crippling fear of being found cringe is a fantastic piece of evidence that peer pressure is stifling all sorts of independent thought among young people. Social media is dumbing down our population far more effectively than any classic system of government indoctrination ever could. And once people are reduced to quivering blobs of human-shaped jelly, somewhat like the prophetically inarticulate future citizens of that movie Idiocracy, they will be quivering jelly in our hands, easily led and molded into whatever shape we, their leaders, need. We've won the war without winning any actual battles. So well done, ASU, for continuing to erode the very idea of truth and for doing it within the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism is indeed a most delicious bit of irony. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
And by the way, like I always try to remind you, these are real stories. It actually is in the Cronkite School of Journalism that they're offering the content creator major field of study. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. Well, Burgess Road is running heavy from West Florida High School all the way to Highway 29. Palafox southbound, also seeing some backups just before you get to Burgess and stretching to I-10. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Oh, somebody had asked me a question earlier about data centers and whether it costs staff time, all this wasted time by the socialists, protesting this. And I don't think that the staff, if they're salaried, are not getting paid more, but they might get comp time for the time spent in the meeting, means that tomorrow or the day after, they're not doing things they could otherwise be doing. So it is costing effectiveness, if not costing actual money. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The California man who allegedly tried to assassinate President Trump and others during the White House Correspondents' Dinner in April was in federal court on Thursday. The judge did not set a trial date. A salmonella outbreak linked to jalapeno peppers has now sickened more than 430 people across 32 states. At least 57 people have been hospitalized.
How can jalapenos carry a thing that doesn't the pepper kill it? Isn't that why you put Tabasco sauce in the raw Easter?
It's the type
Isn't
of question
science?
I would expect you to ask.
All right, go on.
Absolutely.
Last one.
Mark Zuckerberg has bought a castle in Ireland. The billionaire tech CEO buying up property close to his company's office in Ireland. He purchased a castle for between $23 and $35 million.
All right. It does not, by the way, reliably kill bacteria, in case you were wondering.
News. I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump brings the beef to a campaign rally in Myrtle Beach for Senator Darlene Graham, who's focused on affordability. Fox's Aisha Hosni.
The president already putting out some midterm messaging this morning to voters who are concerned and worried about higher prices of food and gasoline. The president announcing he just struck a deal to lower the price of ground beef. This is the Truth Social he just posted, writing that as we work to rebuild the herd and help our ranchers for the next 90 days, the United States will allow up to 300,000 metric tons of product for ground beef to be imported with no out-of-quota tariff.
The Lindsay Clancy defense prepares to wrap after three witnesses described her hearing a man's voice telling her to kill her three children. But the prosecution questions, why was that never written in their notes? America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 79 degrees right now. Heat index already getting close to that 100-degree mark. We've got partly cloudy skies. We'll get a look at our forecast from Channel 3 in just a couple of minutes. A former Department of Children and Families attorney is set to stand trial August 31st on 30 counts of possessing child pornography. Alex Rigsby was arrested in April of 2024 after investigators say they found over 160 images and videos of children being sexually abused stored in his cloud account, some of those alongside personal photos of Rigsby himself. He faces up to 450 years in prison if convicted. The Florida Supreme Court suspended Rigsby's law license earlier this year after an emergency petition from the Florida Bar. The town of Century getting $75,000 from the state to develop a hydraulic model of its municipal drinking water system. That funding is part of the $8.8 million announced by Governor Ron DeSantis, going to small and rural communities in across Northwest Florida, aimed at supporting infrastructure, resiliency, and long-term economic growth. Freeport in Walton County also getting $75,000 that'll be used to update its comprehensive plan for future industrial and commercial development. Holly Navarre firefighters are currently making just about $15 an hour, a little bit more. But that's about to go up after voters approved a fee increase during Tuesday's primary.
It really meant a lot to these guys to know the community has their back because they work so hard for the community every day.
And that is Fire Chief Kevin Lewis. He talked to Channel 3 about the raises, which will bring pay up to between $17 and $18 an hour starting
early next year. And that delay is because fee revenue won't start coming in until closer to December. Well, a man was hospitalized after being cut multiple times during an argument Wednesday on Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. Deputies say the confrontation turned physical, leaving the victim with cut wounds to his back, and the suspect fled. The victim reportedly told deputies that he knew the person responsible. Deputies say they do have a person of interest. That investigation continues. The splash pad at Benny Russell Park in Pace is going to be closed today. Apparently, it was hit by lightning during one of the recent storms. County officials say repairs are underway. They're going to provide an update if that closure will last longer than today. Well, three family members from Indiana are now facing charges after allegedly grave robbing, stealing from cemetery gravesites in Florida. The Orange County Sheriff's Office says that Portia Bancroft turned herself in. Her boyfriend and her mother were arrested in Indiana. Investigators say the group hit cemeteries in Orange, Seminole, and Hillsborough counties, stealing more than $35,000 worth of items. The sheriff's office says the financial loss really isn't the biggest concern. They called the disturbance of the loved ones' resting places deeply painful for the affected families. It is 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, 79 degrees and sunny. Let's check in with PJ. He's got our traffic on the fives.
This is brought to you by PJ's Coffee, celebrating 3 years in Pensacola. This Sunday, 8 to 4, get BOGO drinks, free coffee, pastry samples, 85 West Airport near Carr City. Taking a look at the big board, we have that vehicle crash and injuries, Mobile Highway at Webb Lane in Pensacola. There's also a roadblock. Use caution there. Also have an object in the roadway, I-10 eastbound, just after Avalon and Milton. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. And right now it is 79 and mostly sunny. Let's check in with Channel 3 for our forecast.
We do have a 60% chance of those showers and thunderstorms through the second half of your day. Low in threat of severe weather today, we do have a level 1 out of 5 marginal risk. Temperatures will be hot, 95 degrees for your high, feeling much warmer, up to 110 with a heat advisory in place. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Heading into Saturday, rain chances dropping off, 20% chance of rain with mostly sunny skies, high near 96. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now we've got, again, 79 degrees. It is mostly sunny this morning. Taking a look at your money now this hour. Our markets are up at the opening bell. The Dow up just under 0.5% this morning, trading at 53.22.39. S&P 500 up just over 0.5%, 76.66. 92. NASDAQ up over 0.25%, 26, 133, 123. 10-year bond rate today is up at 4.716%. Gold prices up 68.30 at 46.3970. Silver up $1.54 at 69.64. And Bitcoin is up 3,800, 76,459.43. Now, taking a look at those oil prices today, we're up 8 cents on West Texas Intermediate, trading at $86.90 a barrel. Brent crude up 34 cents this morning, $94.12 a barrel. That brings us to our fuel prices. The national average from AAA for a gallon of regular up again today, $4.11 right now. Taking a look at our Florida average prices, Escambia County, we're seeing average prices right about $3.80. Santa Rosa County, $3.84. Okaloosa County, $3.86 this morning. A frozen blueberry recall is now at the most severe risk level. The FDA initiated this recall for the product sold at Publix supermarkets back in early July. Publix reminding customers not to consume the blueberries. Instead, discard or return to the store for a full refund. Again, that's frozen blueberries. The FDA is issuing a Class 1 recall, categorization that includes a reasonable probability that the use or exposure to the product would cause serious adverse health consequences or death. A new report showing that more than 150 Polymarket accounts may have traded on inside information about the U.S. military. New research out on Thursday from nonprofit Anti-Corruption Data Collective looked at large long-shot bets and found 152 accounts with the online prediction market made $8 million collectively on military and defense predictions with with an average win rate at about 97%. That included predictions like the February launch of U.S. and Israeli airstrikes on Iran. Those bets tended to draw copycat bets from others and automated bots. The findings raise red flags that people are profiting on confidential insider information. Apple Music is now rolling out a new label later this year to identify AI-generated songs. The music platform announced on Thursday that it's going to start putting made with AI labels on those released tracks. The service says that record labels and distributors will be required to tag songs in which a material portion of the content was created with AI. It's 8:39, our next news. At 9, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
The primary election is over.
If you're looking at the city of Pensacola mayor race, D.C. Reeves has 51% of the vote. Alicia Trawick has 21% of the vote.
News Radio 92.3 full team coverage with Chris and Austin provided up-to-the-minute local and state election results.
I'm so happy to welcome David Williams into the show. Hey, David, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
I'm looking at your numbers. You have 59.12% of the vote.
News Radio 92.3.
I said a hip hop, the hip hop, you don't stop. Rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's a chance to talk about the events of the week and whatever else comes up with a couple of friends here in studio with me today. I've got Jeremy Evans and Travis Peterson. One conservative, one liberal. Is it fair to call you that, Travis? You
sure.
Call yourself? Yeah, self-described. I love it.
I'm a capitalist liberal, though.
Oh, she's not a democratic socialist.
Not a democratic
All right.
Socialist.
That's good to know. Yeah. There's some of you left, so I appreciate it. I mean, you don't have any power in your electoral system, but it's okay. I mean, let's get into it. So the election, you know, the primaries happened. Locally, in Escambia, no surprises. And in fact, the only question on DC was, would it be over 50 or not? Right. And he got over 50 and we're done. And now we don't have to endure as much of the social media nonsense as we had before. I mean, some people are still at it. I saw a thing from one of the losers and another person. I mean, yeah, OK, fine. But I think that's good for the city. Jeremy.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I think the result for the city of Pensacola is good. I believe in everyone having an opportunity to participate and run for office, and you absolutely should. But in a situation where if he had gotten 49.8% and it drags a campaign on for 3 months, when the city is facing some issues like flock cameras and they're facing curfews and lots of things happening right now, to have the mayor focused on being the mayor instead of winning an election that he probably was going to win anyway is probably good for the city of Pensacola.
Yeah, I would say definitely going to win. I don't think there was anybody challenging him. It was going to be 51%. It was only a question of whether he had to do it again in November or not. And I totally agree. In fact, he's already kind of flexed it a little bit in a couple of comments. Like, I mean, look, I have a mandate, you know, which is accurate, you know. In fact, he said that, I didn't play the clip today, but he said at his press conference on Wednesday, you know, look, I think this shows you, journalists in the room at the press conference, that what happens on social media is not an indicator of what's happening in people's kitchen tables and on their phone calls with their kids who might or might not want to come back here and live, that what people are actually thinking is, hey, this is pretty good. You know, let's not mess it up. Travis, thoughts about the mayor?
I agree. You know, I think Jeremy said it right. To be able to have the city moving forward on some of the tough issues that are coming, potentially even the property tax amendment down the road. You know, kudos to everybody who steps up and runs for office.
Agreed.
I think that's just, you know, that's what our democracy is built on. So thanks to everybody who stepped up and put their name on the ballot.
I am always impressed. Even people I just cannot stand, I am glad they run for office because I think that's the point. In fact, I'm, if anything, frustrated more people don't. You know, I thought in some of the school board races, you didn't have real choices, you know, at least in the mayor's race, you maybe didn't have anybody who was super viable, but at least you did have alternatives. And, you know, in some of the other races, you know, even though there's opposition, there's not really alternatives. Sorry, you were going to say something.
Well, I think there's also something that a lot of times you have, and not all of these have always produced like long term, but you can have candidates who maybe people didn't really know about that have really good losses.
Yeah.
I think Alicia Trawick had a really good, like, she kind of went from somebody I didn't know, and she ran a very professional campaign.
Right.
And
she might be able to make counsel
in the future,
right,
who has elevated herself. And at times, people, we have seen people do that, and then they're not able to capitalize on it.
Right.
But I do think in some of these situations, you have that candidate who they're out there for the first time running for office,
yep,
and they do a really good job representing themselves, and it sets them up for a future success.
Right.
And I think that in the mayor's race, more than anything locally, I think we saw that with the Trawick campaign, just being very positive, very professionally run, made a really good showing for herself, and maybe next time she has more success if she chooses to continue to.
Right.
Or and even as a citizen advocate, right?
Sure. Exactly. Yeah. Or she gets on a board, or, correct, you know, who knows, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, the Boyce White Brian Cole race is interesting in this, mm-hmm, regard, because, of course, Boyce ran before for, was it governor, or was it mayor or District 4? It was District 4, okay. So he's got some name recognition from that. You know, I mean, I like both of these guys. I know Brian pretty well, and I know Boyce pretty well. But that's an example of somebody who had a, you know, maybe it turns out to be a productive loss, although he waited a little bit long to get back in for something else. But, you know, we'll see. All right, I have two things I want to pet peeve about, okay? Okay. Number one, the six-person race in the mayor's office is exactly why we should have instant runoff voting or ranked choice voting. I hate that we don't have it. I wish we did. It's I will always say it's the right thing. It lets minority candidates get their true representation. It lets people have a say instead of having to decide who I think is going to win versus who I want to vote for. I know it's probably not going to happen. I mean, Alaska's doing it, but nobody else does, except at the major level. The other thing is, why on earth do we elect school board members in the primary? If they're nonpartisan races, that should be general election stuff, just like, of course, the ballot initiative should have been a general election thing. But why doesn't the school board for a two-person race get done at the general election?
That's how the city council does. If it's a two-person election,
right,
you go straight to the
which is how it should be.
It should be. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I don't have any other thing to say that I agree. I mean, I think there's some things in our election system that are not
great. They're screwy at
and
best.
I don't love that we don't have party runoffs. Like, this is many years ago.
Yep.
But Byron Donalds won his congressional seat, I think.
With plurality.
Like, mm-hmm, like, in a significant plurality. I want to say, like, maybe he had 22% of the vote, but there was, like, seven people running who were all credible, and he came out on top. And so his career was launched because he won a very tight primary with a very, very
thin,
like, definition of plurality win.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree with that. So now we're moving it statewide. We've got, I mean, obviously the big news was Angie Nixon, who I've said on the radio, and I would say it again, I mean, she's crazy. I've listened to her in the state house, and she does crazy things, and she represents crazy views, and I am amazed that she beat Alex Vindman. He had, I mean, he didn't have Florida name recognition so much, but he had national name recognition and money, $16 million to her
million.
$1 million, and he represented the moderate wing of the Democrat Party, and in a primary where, what, 20-something percent of, you know, the electorate turned out to vote, not quite half of those are Democrats. They picked her. They picked somebody who cannot win against Ashley Moody. I mean, impossible,
and
right?
I think in that election, it made David Jolly the biggest loser on the
absolutely
election.
Absolutely. But explain it, because I think people may not have picked up. Explain this.
So
this is really important.
I think that David Jolly with
former Republican,
moderate
Democrat, reasonable.
Been campaigning
running
for a couple
against,
of years.
Running against Byron Donalds, who I think most people would say, like, easily won, but maybe slightly underperformed in this election.
I'd say
people
that
thought
too,
he got over 50%.
I was actually surprised Jay Collins didn't get more. I mean, he got more than he got as much as he did. Yeah.
The Donald Trump endorsement
obviously
carried him, but maybe doesn't carry as much weight anymore. You're going into a general where I think the economy's not gotten much better.
Right.
Gas prices are still high. Nationally, there's a lot of indicators.
The war in Iran
and
all of the Trump stuff that's always baggage for the party, right?
Maybe
for
he could
undecided.
Have had some success. And now not only you have Angie Nixon who won, and so all of the energy is going to get sucked into that race because of who she is and what she represents nationally. People are going to focus on her. And then I would be surprised if Byron Donalds talks about David Jolly at all, because
even
Angie
one time,
Nixon,
run against
they're going to run against the socialist Angie Nixon, and that's the big bad, you know, in the corner of the room. When Donald Trump ran, it was Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Like, and granted, she was the nominee, but she is like what Republicans will say is all that's wrong with the Democratic Party, and you won't hear about David Jolly. So not only did it decrease your chances of winning, they're not, you're not even telling your own story. Yep. Your candidates, your race isn't even about you. It's about another race.
It's going to be, it's the inverse of Democrats in the House and Senate campaigns who are going to be running against Donald Trump.
Yeah.
As opposed to their opponent.
Right, right.
I think the interesting thing about
By the way, the most unstrategic vote you can imagine for Democrats who actually were hoping to gain the Senate and may still, you never know, but Vindman's a serious challenge to Ashley Moody.
Yeah,
Angie Nixon, as far as strategy, this is a terrible choice.
Well, it definitely, you know, I'm not sure that Florida was that much in play on the map.
Fair enough.
Because Ashley Moody, you know, known quantity, the state's been trending Republican. I think the interesting thing for the whole Democratic Socialist movement is I keep seeing a lot of these overlapping frustrations between the folks on the left and the kind of MAGA hardcore, you know, the system's rigged against you.
Yep,
you
yep.
know, we can't afford, you know, this or that. We've got outsiders taking our jobs or the, you right. know, AI's taking our jobs. So you have
anti-establishment, correct, anti-authority, correct. Yep. Things aren't going well.
Very different approaches to solving the problem.
Right.
But, you know, you do have this, you know, these, I won't call them fringe, but these elements on both sides where there's just a lot of frustration at the political and the economic system, and you kind of see that reaction from those candidates.
Have I still not gone to traffic, PJ?
No.
Okay, very, very good. Then traffic on the 9s, PJ.
All right, they're still working on the vehicle crash and injuries. Mobile Highway at Webb Lane in Pensacola. Also, a roadblock associated with that. Use caution. I'm PJ with the traffic on the 5s.
Thanks so much. So any other thoughts about the, I mean, what I've also said is the socialists have consistently outperformed, you know, their actual strength because they show up. Right. I mean, I will say, as much as I criticize them, and I think they deserve it, they're getting their agenda accomplished because they're showing up locally at the school board, at the county commission, at the city council, for goodness sakes, at the PEDC meeting, good Lord, at the planning meeting, you know, planning zoning. They're showing up, and it doesn't take a lot of numbers to seem like a movement. And if you're loud and consistent, even if your facts are wrong and your logic is terrible, just being there in presence has an effect. And we're talking about them. I'm having to respond to them and explain why it's wrong. And it's playing with the tar baby. It's, you know, like all of that stuff. And they're getting
participation
matters. Yeah. And they're getting, you know, flock camera attention. They're getting the data center bans. They're getting their agenda accomplished without ever having won an election.
Yeah. And I would say in Florida, the two candidates that had statewide that had the most, like, real energy in them were apparently the Nixon campaign that had less money and had it. And then on the Republican side, as much as I hate to say it, I know I've mentioned it to you
James
a couple
Fishback.
Times. James Fishback.
Right. Yeah, he's scary.
A guy who should have come in, like, with 2-3% of the vote.
Right.
Beat a relatively popular former House Speaker, Paul Renner.
I cannot believe he beat Paul Renner. That's amazing.
Like, I have a feeling like he's off to a Turning Point USA style career. Like, I think
a countercultural and even countercultural.
Yeah, but
kind
if you look at that campaign, it was youthful energy. It wasn't old. With the things he was saying, you would expect it to attract maybe an older crowd, but it was a youthful energy crowd, and that's a little alarming. But I do think that those are the two campaigns statewide that had just the most like organic energy that was really funneled. And worked for them.
Okay, you tell me if you think I'm wrong about this, and it's obviously perfectly fine, but there's always been a challenge with young people just not knowing enough to really have wise decision-making. I mean, I was young. I made dumb decisions. I believed dumb things. I mean, that happens. That's normal. It seems like nowadays it's that always truth, but they're passionate and they're eager and they're interested, right? They're full of hormones and they want to do stuff, okay? Combine that with social media, loss of attention span, easy distraction, whatever's most engaging. You know, the train wreck on the side of the road gets the most attention. And James Fishback and Angie Nixon are train wrecks that got a lot of attention. Do you think it's that same? Like, is that compounding the historic problem?
I mean, I
think it's general frustration, though. I mean, I remember my son a couple of years ago saying, yeah, I couldn't afford to get an apartment with a minimum wage job. Healthcare costs, you know, an arm and a leg. You know, we're ruining
which
the planet.
Which it does.
You know, all these things. And I kind of sat back and thought, crap, he's right. Like, yeah. Things do suck. So I think there's a, again, to yeah. this kind of frustration.
For some people, for sure.
And I think this younger generation is probably looking at mom and dad struggling to make sure they can pay the mortgage and pay the, you know, health insurance or the car pay. Like, it's
you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, though I'm typically not a big fan of hers, but she had an interesting quote when she was doing an interview recently. It was last week on This Week, talking to Jonathan Carl, and she made the comment that, you know, Gen X, you know, millennials aren't punk kids anymore.
Yeah.
You know, she says, we have mortgages and home insurance and kids and bills, and we're not making a lot of money, and we're pretty frustrated at the way the boomers and the Gen Xers have done things and handed it down to us. And we are now involved in this pretty heavily. And she's not wrong.
Smart people can figure out how to manipulate the algorithms and find the people and say, put a real tight 20 seconds on this is the problem and this is who to blame for it. And I can help you fix it.
Yeah.
And those people who are doing that are finding great success, and it's not super expensive.
Right.
And that's how you come in a million versus 16 million, because finding ways to work the algorithms is way cheaper than buying over the air television commercials statewide.
Or radio. And here's the problem that I have is, like, you know, I'm at heart, I'm a philosopher, I'm a writer, I'm a logician, I'm a thinker, I'm going to explain the issue, I'm going to walk you through it, I'm going to talk about both sides.
You're an elitist.
I'm terrible, Andrew. Right? I'm the worst. But what's more captivating to the average 24-year-old? Is it the 20-second TikTok on why Flock and data centers are destroying their lives in this country and come with the socialists? Or is it my 15-minute exposition on why their viewpoint is insane?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Which one is reaching them?
Yeah,
reaching the people who already see it.
Got to do it in 20 seconds too.
Reaching the people, you know, that kind of methodical, evidence-based, you know, thorough way of doing it. You know, is it working? I really, really good article about how you can't just rely on saying socialism's never worked anywhere before to persuade them. That's not enough, because you're not addressing the real issues and they're not listening to you anyway.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying, frankly. PJ has another traffic report. I know it's only been 4 minutes, but we're on the fives this time.
I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth. Not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or Carr City. I'm PJ with the traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. You guys have been listening to the Flock camera conversation I've been having all week with everybody.
Somewhat, yeah.
You know, it's interesting talking to Bob Johnson, talking to Chip Simmons, talking to Chief Winstrom. Chief is probably the closest to me, even though nobody's all that far from me in the concerns about privacy and government abuse and all that. But I will tell you, I have been, I don't know, pleasantly surprised by the response by all three. Essentially, this is an incredibly effective law enforcement tool. I mean, you know, Chip, Sheriff Simmons actually said, I would rather have license plate readers than DNA and fingerprint technology.
Wow.
It's that effective for solving crimes and quickly. And, you know, look, I have a lot of objections and concerns, but I pay attention. I mean, look at the nationwide drop in the crime rates. It is good policing, but it is also modern technology, and LPRs are a big part of that. You have to admit that, right?
I think anyone who is frustrated at the privacy issue, the police, law enforcement, taking advantage of the Flock cameras notwithstanding,
yeah,
then throw away your cell phone.
Right.
Right. Don't go to the gym because there's cameras there. Don't go to the grocery store. There's cameras there. There's cameras everywhere. So the idea that this is some new surveillance, I mean, I understand the privacy concerns, but there's just your phone's tracking you everywhere. Meta is already tracking you everywhere, and China probably already has it all too. So
the things that I've mostly heard, like, the complaints about,
yeah,
there are the privacy issues, but people always get there through, like, some bad administrative use
of the product.
Yeah,
correct.
That gets caught and punished.
And there are some things that I've heard about that where we're probably throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
That's fair. There are some absolute
problems in the administrative side of things that if your car's going through a red light camera or whatever, and how that process works probably is not right, nor fair, nor constitutional. But that doesn't mean that the tool isn't effective. The utilization of that tool in certain situations is absolutely violating your constitutional rights. But then where we are in society is, I don't like it because it did me wrong one time, or, and it needs to go away.
It did somebody I heard about in Michigan.
On Facebook. I read about it. Yeah, exactly. TikTok.
And the red light cameras, speech, for example, it can be wrong and even criminal. But the fact that people do bad things with speech doesn't mean that the First Amendment should go away.
Right.
And, you know, everything that is good can have bad applications and bad uses.
Yeah.
Don't give me one or two or even 50 examples out of millions. You've got to do better than that.
I was just going to say the red light cameras are interesting they're because they do automatically impose a sentence. And the burden of proof is on you, not on the state.
Right.
Right. So you raise a really good point about the sort of constitutionality of the red light cameras for sure.
I don't know. Though I think you get into a lot of very deep questions of the good of the few versus the good of the many.
Of course, and
like real philosophical questions about what's good and what's not good.
And long-term consequences versus right now solutions. Right.
And so you asked me how I feel about it, and I have very mixed feelings about
it.
And so, but I do think that there are specific utilizations of it that I'm not okay with
right.
and need to change. And then there are much broader, more purposeful uses of it that I can be like that. It's hard for me to refute.
Right. You know, it's you asked the question about all the cameras that are everywhere.
Right.
And I'll be honest, I'm like, what if we made, you know, public recording of people without their permission illegal? You know, public photographing of people without their permission illegal. I mean, we would dramatically change our society if that were to ever happen. I don't think we're going to do it, but I don't like that we're always on camera all the time. It's not good for your ordinary behavior. It's not good for your freedom of association and movement. It's really bad. I agree.
Especially when you have a face made for radio.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's we're living a Black Mirror episode, and I don't think we're asking enough of these questions.
Yeah.
You're listening to News Radio.